The following program is paid content from the organization For Your Children. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of For Your Children and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Kennedy Broadcasting Company, LLC, its owners, and management. Welcome in to Free Your Children, sharing truth and love about education. And here's your host, Tiffany Boyd.
Hello. Welcome to Free Your Children on WKOM 101.7. I am your host, Tiffany Boyd, and our mission here at Free Your Children is to share the truth in love about education. There's a battle raging for the souls of our nation's children, and I hope this ministry equips you for battle. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Ephesians 6, 10 through 11. I want to thank Safe Storage for sponsoring today's show. If you have storage needs and you're in the Middle Tennessee area, you can contact them at safestoragetn.com. I also want to thank John Paul Financial Services for sponsoring the show. If you have financial questions, you can contact John Paul Financial Services at jp@livingtrusttn.com or www.johnpaulins.com. If you would like more information about Free Your Children, please visit our website at freeyourchildren.com. We are excited about the new toolkit that we have there. You can go to that toolkit and find a host of different topics that will offer you more information, so we hope you'll check that out. Today, we have just launched a new page on the website dedicated to this voucher bill that we're fighting against in Tennessee. So I hope that you will go and take a look at that as well. There is a call to action issued there, and all of the information that you need is right there at your fingertips, including the names of your legislators and the committees that you need to contact. So I hope you'll check that out. You can also find me on X, Telegram, Facebook, Gmail, the Borough Pulse, that's BoroughPulse.com. You can also find me on the Free Your Children Rumble channel as well. So I'm in a lot of different places. If you're interested in sponsoring the Free Your Children radio show, send me an email at freeyourchildren@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to get those packets out to you. So we're here in Tennessee, and we have been discussing the Tennessee Voucher Bill, Governor Bill Lee's Education Freedom Scholarship Act that has been moving through the House and the Senate. Free Your Children organized a group of homeschool families and private school families who have been at the Capitol more than once to discuss our opposition to this legislation and hopefully find some legislators who are willing to listen to our position on this. So last week, this bill passed in the House and in the Senate, and it moved on to the Government Ops House Committee. And in the Senate, it is in the Finance, Ways, and Means Committee. And so today, I brought in, the bill was supposed to be heard this week, but we are hearing that they are putting it off until next week. So today, I wanted to bring in a special guest. We have Representative Todd Warner from District 92 with us today to talk about this legislation. Welcome, Representative Warner.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Tiffany, and good morning, Murray County and surrounding areas. It's great to be here with you, and we'll discuss this important piece of legislation.
Absolutely. This has been a journey for sure, and there's lots going on. But before we get started, I want to clarify what school choice is. It's kind of a term that has been hijacked, I believe.
Yeah, I believe it has a little bit. No doubt it's been hijacked.
Absolutely. I've said often, and I know that many of the families that have written in to their legislators have said this as well. We already have school choice in Tennessee. Parents have the option to send their children to public schools, private schools, or homeschool them. But what's really being debated, and what this legislation is really talking about, is government school choice.
That is absolutely correct. A yes. Massive increase in tax dollars going to private education. And there's a lot of money going towards in this bill. Of course, as we get into it, we'll talk more about it. But the House and the Senate has two different versions. Mm-hmm. And in the House version, it is a lot of money, somewhere around $500 million. Part of that money going to public schools, part of it going to private schools. Mm-hmm. And that's where I really have some concerns about it being a physical
Absolutely.
Conservative.
Yeah, we're going to dig deep into that. And I want to reiterate that this is government school choice. And government school choice is government funded, allocated to families to spend on education. And I've said over and over again that these programs always result in government oversight, regulations, and mandates, as has been proven in states that have already adopted these initiatives. But we're going to speak specifically about this legislation here in Tennessee. So Free Your Children is fundamentally opposed to government school choice. And I want to talk about some of the things that are being highlighted specifically in the House legislation, because you're a representative in the House.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so this particular amendment, is it 37 pages long or 39 pages long?
Something like that. It's changed. It's changed a couple times. I know your representative dropped a amendment on us there. I guess it was Wednesday in the Education Administration Committee that I sat on, and I haven't had a chance to review the whole amendment, but it did make some changes. And if you're in favor of the bill, I do think it made it better. But what you had there was a 39-page bill that, mm-hmm. if you were in Washington, D.C., those folks up there would call that a pork bill.
Exactly.
It's stuff full of pork and extra money that, you know, in my opinion, we should keep government smart and simple. Mm-hmm. You take each item in that bill, you break it out, and you let each item stand on its own merit.
Absolutely.
And we vote that way. We vote the good stuff up, we vote the bad stuff down. Mm-hmm. But what they've done is they've thrown a bunch of stuff in there for those people that may be on the fence of supporting this legislation. Mm-hmm. They put some stuff in there to try to get those votes, and I'm totally against that kind of legislation. I like to see everything broke out, be as simple as it can be, where the folks can understand what's really going on.
Right. There have been statements made over and over again that homeschoolers have been taken out, but the amendment that was supposed to remove homeschoolers, which we can talk about that more in detail as we move through this, but that particular amendment was never filed. And so a lot of individuals believe that homeschoolers have been written out, but homeschoolers, the majority of the homeschool population, falls under Category 4. And so they're considered private schools. So as you know, the concern with this is, because this has already happened in other states, that even if they try to say that homeschools have been removed and they leave in Category 4, that will then result in a way for them to go in and amend that language in the future.
I definitely see that happening.
Yes, absolutely. I have had numerous people on the show, and we've talked about this, and we've said once it gets on the books, once it's a law, it's really easy, you know, to go in and make those amendments. And we've seen the amendment process occurring as we've moved through this process in the House, in the K-12 subcommittee, and now in the Education Committee, and now we're moving on to government ops.
Right, and I suspect it'll be amended again a couple times before it actually gets to the House floor.
I believe you are correct on that.
Right.
So tell our listeners, some people, because I get lots of questions about this, they don't necessarily understand the legislative process, about how this moves through the process and how it could potentially be signed into law. So it goes through three committees, correct?
Yeah, this bill here, and it may end up going through four or five committees. The different bills are filed different ways. Mm-hmm. You draft a bill, you get legal to come in, you draft a bill. It's the clerk's office signs it to the committees that, you know, that mm-hmm. the that it goes through. It'll make its way through a subcommittee, usually a full committee. Then maybe like this bill is going to government ops. Mm-hmm. Then it goes to calendar and rules, which to me is just a kind of a pass-through mm-hmm. committee. And then it goes on to the House floor for vote.
Right. Do you think that the House and the Senate are going to agree?
Absolutely not.
What do you think that process, what do you think that process is going to look like?
What usually happens mm-hmm. when the House and Senate don't agree, the speakers of each House appoint what they call a conference committee. Mm-hmm. It'll be bipartisan, and it will be made up of four or five House members and four or five Senate members. They'll go into a conference committee, which is usually not open to the public. It's usually just done at the end of session. Mm-hmm. you know, each side to give and take a little bit, what they can live with. They'll come back and they'll bring the bill back to each chamber and we'll vote on it.
Right.
Vote it up or down. A bill like this, I can assure you, I think we have a limit on each bill on the House floor. It'll get probably 1 hour worth of debate time before we vote on it.
Wow. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't believe that they're going to be able to agree. Although I will say I don't like the Senate bill either, but definitely the House bill is really full of a lot of things that could be, will be problematic in the future.
Yeah, I can see a lot of things coming. Mm-hmm. There's going to be several Republicans that vote against this. I think more of your rural districts are going to, your Republicans are going to vote against it. But I see several issues with this. And if you, as you said that you were down there last week, mm-hmm. you seen me press the commissioner.
Yes.
You seen me press. Representative Sapicki on a couple, and,
yes.
and let me say I appreciate your job that Representative Sapicki does. Mm-hmm. He represents Murray County well, but this is one issue that we disagree on. And
right.
When I ran 4 years ago, I'm in my second term, and when I ran 4 years ago, I promised the local educators at that time my district was very rural.
Mm-hmm.
It was made up of all of Marshall County, South and West Lincoln County, Southern. Franklin County and Southern Marion County along the Alabama line.
Mm-hmm.
And the school districts are the biggest, you know, pretty much the biggest employers in those counties.
Right.
And, you know, those rural districts, they need every dollar that they can get for mm-hmm. their public schools. Because when the state starts taking money away from those public schools, what's the next thing they're going to do? They're going to raise property taxes on the locals.
Exactly.
And that's my concern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we start taking, you know, public dollars away from our public schools, it creates a burden on the local counties.
Mm-hmm.
They have to raise taxes. And plus, only about 95%, 95% of our students are going to go to public school
mm-hmm.
and going to graduate and get their education from
right.
public school. I don't think we should never strip money. With that being said, I'm for open enrollment. I'm for private schools. I'm just not sure the tax dollars should be going to fund those. And we're going to get into a little bit some of the questions I raised last week in committee.
Yes,
that
yes.
really, really concerned me.
Yeah.
And I didn't get a good answer down there last week. And I wasn't happy with the answers that I got
right.
from our newly hired commissioner by the governor, and I was very disappointed in some of the answers I got.
Absolutely.
And I'll let you lead back into which way you want to go on this.
Yes. But. Well, one pressing, burning question I think that you ask, that, and a lot of people have asked this, is will this legislation, if it passes into law, will this allow illegal immigrants to utilize these vouchers? And you're right. I watched the sidestepping and the diversion to the answer of this particular question. But this was actually, what happened was we came for both hearings. We came for the House hearing and we came for the Senate hearing last week on this voucher bill. And that was that large group of us in the room and we didn't have a place to sit. And someone approached us and said, you're not going to be allowed to stand. You're going to have to find a seat or you're not going to be able to stay in here. So homeschool families and private school families were squeezing in, putting two to a seat, doing everything we could to make sure that we could stay and hear the process. And then after the session started, we looked and we saw that all these people were being allowed to stand in the back of the room. So that was interesting to see that.
Yeah, I don't get why we don't move when we have some of these bigger crowds, and if the House floor is not being utilized, I don't
mm-hmm.
know why we don't move some of these committees to the House floor.
Right.
That's probably done for a reason. But,
right. We,
you know,
we,
if
we
I
made
was,
it work.
Yeah, if I was in charge, I'd say, hey, we've got this big crowd here today. We've got school vouchers on the agenda. Let's move if session, we're
right.
not in session, let's move this committee over to the House
yes.
where we can get more people in there. Cause
well, we made it work. We were glad to be there. And then, but the Senate hearing was starting in the middle of the House hearing. So a few of us stayed in the House so we could stay on top of what was going on. And then the majority of us moved to the Senate
mm-hmm.
to listen to that hearing. And then when that hearing finished, concluded, we had to come back to the House because you guys were still going, right?
Still going. It was seemed like a marathon. It was
yes.
almost 5 hours we were in there. And there was a lot of good questions, a lot of good points raised. And
there were a lot of good questions. And I appreciate the line of questioning that was being utilized in that particular, because we stayed the whole time. We were there the whole day. We came early that morning and we left, you know, that evening, probably 30 minutes or so after the house session concluded. So we did get, and then I've gone back and listened to and watched the video as well. For the portions that I missed personally. And so you're right, there were some really good questions asked, and that was one. The fact, the question, which I believe you raised this question, will illegal immigrants be entitled to this voucher legislation? The same thing was being asked in the Senate.
Right, and I believe it, ultimately they will. So I had an amendment. It was I think it was the last amendment that was heard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they got to rolling them and moving them to the hill, it all got out of whack there. But my amendment was a severability clause amendment that basically said if a judge ever rules that this bill is unconstitutional and an illegal can get this money, that the whole bill dies.
Right.
And that was just an insurance policy for the state of Tennessee and for the taxpayers of this great state to say, hey, look, we don't want our tax dollars going to fund illegals in private school. There's another good question that was raised. You take some of these rural counties that may have a private school in it, maybe just one private school, if they have a kid with disabilities, learning disabilities or whatnot, and sometimes they partner with the local school there, the local public school, to help them with those needs. And there's some money that changes hands at that point. So what's happening at that point is you've got public school money that has federal dollars, Title IX money, that's going to come to that private school.
Right, called IDEA.
Yeah, and I don't know all the proper terminology for it, but I'm glad that you do.
Yep, it's IDEA.
But when that happens, a judge is going to rule that you're taking this federal dollars, and as you know right now in the state of Tennessee, I've asked this question before in committee, education committee, how many children do you think that we're educating in this state illegal? And the answer I always get back is we cannot ask them whether they're here illegal or not.
Absolutely.
We're not allowed to do that.
Right. Yeah, and so the Senate confirmed this, too, that there would be illegal immigrants that would be eligible to utilize this voucher money. So that discussion was going on in the Senate while you guys were over in the House. And then that was the takeaway that I got from the House as well, is that they would be eligible. This is an equal opportunity package that the House has introduced here. And then, you know, Representative Sapicki deemed that this was outside, since this was outside of TISA, it would be considered a public benefit. So this was the discussion that was going on in terms of the illegal immigrants that could utilize this. And even Representative Gino Bolso, I believe, asked you, why did you draft the legislation that would prevent illegal immigrants from utilizing this? And what would you say to that?
I just don't think as Tennessee taxpayers, we should be funding illegals.
I agree.
And if you want to do it, go through the proper process to become a U.S. citizen, I'm all for it.
Right.
But when you're here illegal, I don't think that the burden should be on the backs of the Tennessee taxpayers.
Exactly. Well, I thought that was a very interesting debate and conversation. And then you were popular with the news media that day.
I was one of the only Republicans really speaking up. There were some that had some questions, but I was really wanting some answers. And as we get on into this, we're going to see that once the school's been here 3 years.
Yes, we're going to get into that. We are. And I want to say you're a Republican.
I am. I'm considered one of the most conservative down there.
Yes.
If you look at the rankings that different organizations do, I rank amongst the top five.
Right. So a lot of a narrative has been spun here from a lot of different sources stating the claim that if you are against this, you are a Democrat. I hear that often about myself, and I'm probably one of the most conservative people that you will meet.
That is not the case. AFP, Americans for Prosperity, who, for some reason, ungodly reason, well, I wouldn't say ungodly, but some reason, jumped on Nikki Haley's back. So that lets you know how much they got, you know.
Exactly. And
but they have,
there was a very large AFP presence.
There was.
In the House and Senate.
Yeah, so, but they've, you know, kind of made sure that they're going to, you know,
push this through.
They're going to try to push this, and they're going to work against anybody that stands in the way.
Yes.
And they want to, you know, come after me, just get your big boy pants on, let's go, is all I can tell you.
That's great. We appreciate you standing firm on this. We need to take a break, but make sure you join us right back with our guest, Representative Todd Warner.
Hi, I'm Steve, the garbage man. You're listening to Front Porch Radio, 1017 WKOM, Columbia.
Hi, I'm Robert Rogers at Parks Motor Sales Buick GMC.
And I'm Michael Parks Lawrence at Parks Motor Sales Buick GMC.
Together, we're Mr. Bobby Parks' grandsons, and we run his dealership, and we are glad to be part of our local community.
Being family-owned and operated, we invest heavily in our community.
We do things like sports teams, schools, bands, you name it. We try to help everybody we can.
The reason why we do this is because we all love this community.
So come do business with us, your neighbors, at Parks Motor Sales in Columbia, Tennessee, right off Nashville Highway, or at parksmotorsales.com.
Hello, I'm Barbara Lincoln with Holland's Pharmacy. You may have heard our previous commercials about compression hosiery that we carry at Holland's Pharmacy. Well, we've recently expanded into a full line of knee braces, back, wrist, ankle, and other support wear. We will gladly help you get just the right fit for these items and, of course, special order items to ensure the proper fit. Come see us at Holland's Pharmacy, 1608 Hatcher Lane, or call us at 931-388-4233. 388-4233.
Hi, I'm Steve, the garbage man. Are you new to Murray County? We want to welcome you and your family. We are a local residential garbage service, and we want to be your garbage man. We've been around for over 30 years, so we have a reputation. Check us out at garbagemaninc.com or call Mike at 931-540-0919. You could also ask your neighbor. 931-540-0919.
This is Elk Kennedy. The old saying is, happy wife, happy life, couldn't be more true. Many years ago, my wife, Mary Susan, had major surgery on her back, but continued with chronic pain. Doctors were saying invalid, disabled, but then she found the Dr. Gill Center for Back, Neck, and Chronic Pain in Franklin, Tennessee. It has changed our lives. We visited there recently with Dr. Wendy Tuohy, saw the state-of-the-art facilities. Folks, don't take a pill. Call Dr. Gill. Go to callmepainfree.com.
One of our objectives at Caledonian Financial is to impact our clients and friends in a positive manner. Whether it's a friendly voice, a smile and a wave as you walk past our office, or supporting our community, the Caledonian team is actively involved through our memberships in Kiwanis, Rotary, Murray Alliance Circle of Excellence, volunteering in Boy Scouts and 4-H, serving on a variety of boards and more. We stay connected to Murray County. This is Daisy Cook with Caledonian Financial in historic downtown Columbia.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through NBC Securities Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
Having a tough time finding the right people for the job? Well, maybe it's time to take a second look at who you're hiring. Look beyond the wall. Unlock talent by hiring someone with a record. They did their time, and now you can take them from justice to a job. Get tax credits, training dollars, and protection bonds. The Tennessee Office of Reentry can show you how second chances work. Learn more at tnworkready.com.
Brought to you by the Tennessee Department of Labor and Workforce Development, the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Welcome back to Free Your Children. I am your host, Tiffany Boyd, and I am here today with Representative Todd Warner. It's great to have you here with us. There's a lot going on with this voucher legislation.
It is.
And right before we took a break, we were talking about Americans for Prosperity.
Better known as AFP.
Yes, better known as AFP. And so tell me a little bit about their presence there on the Hill prior to this legislation coming up for vote and then during.
I mean, they're there a lot. I mean, they're a big-time lobbying firm. They're there. They push bills, and probably 95% of the time, you know, they're all about transparency. They're, you know, they have a lot of good stuff that they push that most of the time that I vote with, you know, that I vote for. But this here is one bill that I can't get on board with at all.
Absolutely. Know. Yes, we saw a lot of green shirts.
And it really hurt my feelings that they're so hard behind this bill, because they're all about, you know, transparency. They're about, you know, less taxes, supposedly less taxes. Mm-hmm. And this is definitely going to be a burden for Tennessee taxpayers.
Absolutely. We've watched this unfold in other states, again, across the nation, because Free Your Children is connected nationally with people and individuals that do the exact same thing that I do. And they've done it. Some of them have done it even longer than I have, a lot longer than I have.
Ben, that you said that you was in committee, mm-hmm. and I don't know if you was in the room at the time that Representative Baum from Murfreesboro, mm-hmm. he sits on the Finance Ways Committee, and he raised concerns that that the revenues for the state are down some $400 million right now, mm-hmm. and not sure why we were passing such a big piece of legislation when our revenues right now for the year are down some $400 million.
Wow. And I watched when I was in, because I testified in the House K through 12 subcommittee, mm-hmm. and then I testified in the Senate when it was in committee, not this past week, but the week before.
Right.
And one of the things that really struck me was how fiscally the fiscal memorandum on this seems to have already exploded.
It has.
It has grown exponentially from what I've seen.
I think it's around $480 million right now, and there's no doubt in my mind when it's all done, it'll be well over $500 million. That's just for the first year.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at this, and you know, the whole premise behind school choice is to make every child that is eligible to attend a public school eligible for these vouchers. They've mm-hmm. made this clear in the Senate. It's been made clear in the House that is what the government, the governor intends to do. Some families have multiple children. Some families have 6 children, 8 children. So if you're going to give, and I'm just going to round the number off, $7,000 to every child in every family who would be eligible to attend school, to attend a public school, to go and use that money anyway, any choice of education that they choose to implement that in, whether it be homeschool, private school, or even a school outside of that child's district. And we'll get into that as mm-hmm. well. That's a lot of money. If you have, you know, 8 kids, 8 times 7.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. So do you think, in your opinion, the state of Tennessee could actually afford that?
I see it being trouble down the road.
Yes.
I think the first couple of years, I think it's only limited mm-hmm. maybe to 20,000 people.
Right.
And this is an entitlement, too. We haven't
exactly.
even talked about that.
No.
And if you're going to do something like this, it should be fair to all Tennesseans, because
yeah.
all Tennesseans pay tax, mm-hmm. and it should be fair. Tennessee's, you know, we basically run our state on
yeah.
the sales tax.
You know, I take a hard stand on that, and I say it's educational welfare.
Exactly. It's it's school stamps is what it is.
Yes, absolutely. And is there anything conservative about that?
I haven't seen any one thing in the bill that's conservative as far as I'm concerned.
That's what's concerning to me, is that big government is not supposed to be a tenet of conservatism.
And another thing we're doing here, and I know some of our Christian private schools are probably not ran for profit.
Right.
But this is subsidizing business that are for profit.
Absolutely. One concern that I have launched over and over, because I've done, you know, I've been in education for 30 plus years. So I've dedicated my whole life to education, and I've been studying this for decades. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I sounded the alarm on early was, this is creating a whole cottage industry mm-hmm. for third party vendors that encompasses public private partnerships. So taxpayers are funding private businesses.
Exactly.
And then there's no sunshine law to that. There's no transparency to that. So then you get into complete and total taxation without representation.
Exactly.
And I don't believe that my tax dollars should be supporting private businesses that I may not choose to support.
Yeah, and I'm going to give you an example. And I did. I did support Ford when it came to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I think the state gave around $800 million.
Uh-huh.
I supported that. I thought it would help. I seen what General Motors done for this area back mm-hmm. years ago when I was in high school, when mm-hmm. it came to Middle Tennessee.
You're dating us there.
I know it. I know it. But I did support, you know, giving them their portion to get Ford relocated, because I know that area definitely needs the jobs,
mm-hmm.
and I did support that. Now, when the Tennessee Titans, on the other hand, mm-hmm. they done the same thing for the Titans. They give them $500 million. Now, I voted against that one.
Right, right.
So,
you know, that's one thing that I think that the public needs to be aware of, is that this money, they're not going to walk to your house and give you $7,000 to spend.
It's going to the school, and the school's going
that's right.
Disperse some of it back. I think the question was raised about buying computers.
Yes, and yes, absolutely, and I want to get into that too. We can talk about it now. Let's just jump there now. So we had a representative that asked in this committee. He said, if a student is attending, already enrolled and attending, a private school, could they use this voucher money to purchase a state-of-the-art computer? So we're not talking about a child that's in public school that wants to use this voucher to then come to a private school. We're talking about a student that's already, their parents clearly already had the money to send them to a private school. Mm-hmm. So the question that was being asked is, can a student that is enrolled in a private school use this voucher money to purchase a state-of-the-art computer? And this was Representative Love that was asking this question. And the answer to that question was yes.
Yes.
So how is that helping public schools to become better?
Yeah, and we'll get to the commissioner hopefully in a minute, but that's one question I had for them. They sold this. The governor says competition
right.
makes
yes.
everybody better. Uh-huh. That's one question that I asked the commissioner. Could they answer? And I said, give me three examples where
yes.
where this is going to make public schools better. And
I didn't receive an answer.
I didn't get an answer.
I saw that. You didn't receive an answer. And I say often, there is no competition when the government controls all the options.
Absolutely.
So if the government is funding private education and the government, and I'm talking about the state government, there's federal strings attached to this too, but we're going to get to that in a minute. If the state government is funding private education and they're funding public education and they're funding homeschools, how is that competition?
It's not.
And I did notice that you did not receive an answer on that. It was fascinating. I encourage you, if you have never been to a committee meeting, mm-hmm. go. If you are a taxpayer, you need to go up to Capitol Hill and see what they're doing with your money.
Exactly. And I tell people, if you really want to get in the know and see what's
yes.
going on and how a bill works or
yes.
how it, don't watch it on the House floor.
No.
Because the decision's already been made when it gets to the House floor pretty
exactly.
much. The decisions are made in committee.
Uh-huh.
That's where you get the most discussion. Mm-hmm. That's where the bill is going to get explained the best. That's where it's going to get broke down the best.
And I'll say this, as homeschool families, we bring our kids. What a fantastic civics lesson for them.
It is.
I mean, I was able to sit there. We took our youngest daughter, our 11-year-old, went with me while we were there. And I had a diagram of the way that a bill becomes a law. And as it was moving through the committee, I was showing her on the chart. This is where it's been. This is where we are right now. You know, this is the House.
Right.
These are our House of Representatives. And this is the discussion. And they have rules of order, or they're supposed to have rules of order, that they follow.
Right.
And it was quite the experience.
Yeah,
she
that was
thoroughly,
a good
yes, it was
good
great.
Hands-on or being there witness to,
yes.
to the testimony of what's really happening.
She thoroughly enjoyed that experience, and she has said, when this goes to the floor, I'm going back. I mean, she has to find out. She has to find out what the culmination
yeah, and you can
of
go,
this is.
You can go to the General Assembly website, and you can watch from
yes,
home live too.
Absolutely,
you know?
And it's fantastic. But I highly encourage people, because they'll call me, "What happened? What happened?" And I always refer them to the video, you know, because it's
right.
recorded as you're there, you know, in committee.
Yeah.
But I really encourage them, if they're able, to come out and see it for themselves.
Right.
So it's a great experience. Mm-hmm. Taxpayers really need to understand, you know, they do these interviews on the street where they will ask people information. Do you understand, you know, mm-hmm. how a bill becomes a law? And most people don't know. And that's okay, but this is a good way
right.
you know, to get an education on that. But let's jump back into the bill here. You ask a question, and I think this is going to shock a lot of people. I knew it because I've been doing this a long time. But you ask a lot of really good questions, but this was one that you asked. Could a school that is a Muslim school, an LGBTQ school, or a satanic school potentially be able to accept voucher funding? Expound on that.
Well, that's my concern. I
yes.
don't think us as Tennessee conservatives or Tennessee taxpayers, whatever, you know, I don't think, even if we don't agree on, you know, if we're different across the aisle,
mm-hmm.
I still don't think we want our money going to a satanic school to a Muslim school that may be teaching Sharia law,
yep.
Which really, you know, they really look down and treat women terrible.
Yep.
But in this case, if that school mm-hmm. has been here 3 years, mm-hmm. or if it's a new school mm-hmm. that wants to come here, mm-hmm. after 3 years and they meet the categories one through four or five, whatever it is, mm-hmm. they can get the money.
Absolutely. So let's reiterate this. The answer is yes, they can. They will be eligible to receive these vouchers, and it's already happening in other states.
It is.
So if you are a resident of Tennessee and you pay taxes, and if you live here, you pay taxes.
Yes.
Or you better be paying taxes, or they'll come and find you. There's two things that we can be sure of. We're going to die, and we're going to pay taxes, right? So I'll say this. If you're a taxpayer in the state of Tennessee, you need to ask yourself, do you want your tax dollars being utilized for schools that could be Muslim schools, LGBTQ plus schools, satanic schools, because they will be eligible for these vouchers.
It's my understanding some of them are already here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Some of them are already here.
Yeah.
I think there's one in Memphis. Somebody was
yes.
during committee sending me some information mm-hmm. on. And if you read their mission statement,
yes.
it's not a mission statement that most Tennesseans would support.
Absolutely. I've done some research on that, too, and I can provide some information regarding that as well if you're curious. And you're right. There are several questionable charter schools and other entities in that area, and I'm sure there are other places as well. But it was verified that definitely those schools, if they go through the process and are here and established for 3 years, they can utilize.
And again,
those.
The commissioner, this is one issue I really pressed her on, and I couldn't get a straight answer. Well, that'll be up to the board, you know, State Department of Education to determine.
Yes.
Well, there's nothing that says that they can deny them.
The minute that
they deny them is the minute that they've got a mega million-dollar lawsuit slapped on them, and again, here we'll be liable as Tennessee taxpayers.
Right. Do you believe that the public has had was given ample time to study this bill before it was introduced in the K-12 subcommittee? Because that's where it went first.
That's where it went first, and I serve on a K-12 mm-hmm. subcommittee. Absolutely not. We got it at like 5 o'clock on Monday. Mm-hmm. By 5 o'clock the next day, we were hearing it. We had other committees ahead of that committee mm-hmm. That day. I didn't have a chance to read it.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I spent about 30 minutes on it in my office, highlighting some stuff that stuck out to me,
right?
But I didn't have somebody to really. What I would have really liked to done is got with a couple public educators, mm-hmm. a couple private educators, mm-hmm. and had them take that paper and break it down for me and let them give me the questions, because I don't know
exactly, and that's smart to get other people's opinions.
I always want other yes. people's input yes. on legislation, because
well, I'll tell you, we had
I'm not
asked,
an educator,
right? I mean, and that's what we're supposed to do. If we don't know, we're supposed to go and collaborate with others that are experts yes. in those areas to help us make decisions and to listen to our constituents.
Exactly.
So and actually, let's just talk about that for a second, because actually a legislator's job is to represent their constituents,
their
right?
people.
So
not their interests.
Right, exactly. And so a huge concern that I had with this from the very beginning is that we had been asking for this bill, and we had been asking for ample time to review the bill, and we were told we would have 7 days to review the bill. That did not happen. There were people that were at the Capitol the day that the bill was first being heard in the K-12 subcommittee, or amendment, whatever you want to call it, and they were having trouble getting it just hours prior
yeah,
to
probably,
the actual
probably having trouble get it pulled up on your phone. There's a way to do that. Don't ask me how to do it, but
you know,
there's
I
a way
had,
you can pull all that up.
Right. I had a copy of it, but I didn't get it from the General Assembly website. I got it from someone who had it and knew that we needed it and sent it to me in a text message, actually. So the concern is, and I heard Representative Brian Ritchie state while he was there, he was only given 24 hours to review this bill.
That is the truth.
And that seemed to be a resounding theme.
And I'd been asking leadership, because I'd been having constituents over in Marshall County ask me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted, you know, I wanted their thoughts.
Exactly.
I wanted my local school board over there.
Right.
I represent Marshall and Southern Williamson County.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted the school boards to see the bill because, you know, I wanted their input before right. I went down there and started voting on any legislation. I didn't want them to say, well, hey, you didn't share this piece of legislation. This affects us this much. And, right. and them never see it. And I had been on leadership for probably 3 or 4 weeks. And they kept promising me, you're going to have it. Warner, you're going to have it. You're going to have it. And we got it 24 hours ahead of time.
Yeah, which is, again, concerning. And it makes me wonder, and many other people I'm sure have the same question, why would they hold out with this?
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to say that they were really trying to hide anything. They were trying to make sure, I'm sure, that they had all the bases covered.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure they were getting input from stakeholders,
mm-hmm.
and they were changing things as, you know, last right. minute or whatnot. But
because to the public, let me tell you what it looks like.
It didn't look good to the public.
That's right.
And that's the point I tried to make to Representative Sapicki uh-huh. in committee. And again, me and him agree most of the time. But I thought we should have rolled the bill a week and let people look at it. And
yes.
it would have put a better, you know.
The public, I think, would have at least felt like that what they were asking was being considered.
Exactly.
Because at this point, we feel like this is how I feel. I'm going to tell you how I feel. Other people have expressed this opinion too.
I don't doubt it.
But they feel like that they have already made up their mind, and they didn't want the pushback, and that's the reason why they were not allowing the general public time to read through this bill and contact our representatives and let them know what our opinions were on it.
Right.
And then we start getting into the whole transparency thing.
Yeah, now I'm all about being transparent, and I think government should be as transparent
exactly.
as they can be. And I'm not sure we done that
right.
on this bill.
I'm very disappointed to see how this happened, but I was expecting this, you know, with it being filed as a caption bill.
Right.
I was expecting us to get into a lot of political maneuvering, which is exactly personally what I feel like is happening with this particular piece of legislation. But we have to have conversations, and people need to be educated, and they need to be asking tough questions of their representatives. Do you get upset when a constituent contacts you?
No, absolutely not. You contact me. At the end of the day, if we don't agree, we just got to agree
right.
to disagree.
That's right.
But no, you're never going to hurt my feelings.
Right.
As long as we keep it, you know.
Yeah, it seems like there's been a breakdown of communication, too, with the state and with you and maybe other representatives who have sent in emails, because mm-hmm. I watched our commissioner, Lizette Gonzalez-Reynolds. You'd sent her an email regarding the question about the illegal immigrant.
Well, let me tell you how that worked. Well, her email's not even on the website. We
okay.
couldn't find it.
Okay, that's interesting.
Because she did not, but we reached out to the Chairman White's office,
uh-huh.
and we said, how do we
contact her?
How do we mm-hmm. contact her to make sure she had this? And he said, well, just send it to our office, send it to our staff,
mm-hmm.
we'll make sure she gets it. And the question, we may hit on this a little bit, but I want to, you know, the question I wanted to ask her, I wanted her to review the application, then I wanted her to tell me what was missing. Well, what was missing was there was no box for the illegal to check that
right.
they're here illegal. And Jack Pyers had to answer the question for her, which he's one of her assistants.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, you asked me the question, or you sent it, but you didn't tell me what you wanted. And I said, well, that's kind of like, giving you the test and the answer, too.
Exactly.
You were supposed to review the application. You already knew what my concerns were from subcommittee.
Right.
You should have known what was missing on the application. And what was missing was the box to check whether you're here illegal or not.
Right. Oh, boy. Well, we're going to dig in even deeper in the last segment. I hope you will join us back here with Representative Todd Warner. But now it's time for a break.
This is Jack Cobb with Murray County Public Schools and the Big Yellow School Bus. You're listening to Front Porch Radio on 101.7 WKOM in Columbia, Tennessee.
Hi, this is Terry Tillis from Tillis Jewelry. Here is what some of our customers are saying about us. Great people. The place to shop for fair prices and great craftsmanship. Beautiful vintage and custom jewelry. Thank you, Beth. That is our goal. Stop by and see for yourself. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Tillis Jewelry, downtown Columbia. Owned and operated by Rick, custom designer, and Terry, registered gemologist. Assuring you the best jewelry value and expert services.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the drywall that somehow isn't. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Call Davis Heating and Cooling at 931-388-2090. Davis Heating and Cooling is your local American Standard dealer and proudly serves the Maury County area. Find Davis Heating and Cooling online and on Facebook or call today, 388-2090.
This is Debbie Matthews with the Nashville Realty Group, and if you've been paying attention, you know the housing market has been tough, but rates are beginning to thaw. So if you're thinking about selling, the time to jump in is getting better every day. But if you're thinking about buying, and those interest rates are still a little bit too high, a good agent knows how to negotiate interest rate buy-downs, and I'm a good agent. So call me, Debbie Matthews with Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224.
This is Elk Kennedy. A few years ago, my wife Mary Susan and I decided to redo our study. I wanted the same comforting earth color green my grandmother had in her study when I was growing up. We didn't even have a sample. Mary Susan went to see Zeke Maddox at Columbia Paint Wall Cover. He had my grandmother's color card on file from 1959. Today, her great-great-grandchildren play and laugh under that comforting green. Columbia Paint and Wall Cover, Zeke Maddox, 931-388-2806.
Columbia's own 8th Annual Mid-State Classic Collegiate Softball Tripleheader returns on April 2nd at the Ridley Sports Complex. Columbia Central versus Spring Hill at 10 a.m. Then it's Columbia State versus UT Southern at 1:30. And at 5:30, the Lady Volunteers face off against the Memphis Tigers. Tickets are available online at columbiatn.com/midstateclassic. Tickets are $10 and good for all three games. The Mid-State Classic, April 2nd. See you at the game.
Fun is in full bloom, Tennessee, and the multiplier instant games are buzzing in. These colorful tickets offer chances to multiply your wins 10, 20, 50, and even 100 times. It's a beautiful day for bigger and bigger prizes, and they're ripe for the picking right now. Find the multiplier instant games today at your nearest Tennessee Lottery retailer, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
This responsible gaming message is brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. When you play the lottery, it's important to play responsibly. Know your limit and spend only what you can afford. Set a budget and stick to it. And remember, as long as you're having fun, you're always a winner in our book. The Tennessee Lottery is a proud supporter of National Problem Gambling Awareness Month. To learn more about problem gambling resources, visit tnlottery.com.
We're back here with Free Your Children. I am your host, Tiffany Boyd, and we are joined today by Representative Todd Warner. And we were just having a discussion before we took a quick break here regarding our Education Commissioner, Lizette Gonzalez Reynolds. And what I want to discuss now is kind of how the promulgation of rules is happening in the state of Tennessee and the authority that the Tennessee Board of Education and the State Board of Education have in terms of education. Because one thing, when you were having this conversation, we will say, about the application and how that was going to look, she made a statement, and what we were told was that the approval of these expenses will be determined by the Department of Education. They establish the requirements and administration of this program. So when you were asking, and she kept answering you and saying, well, that will be determined when we make the bill is passed, and then we make the rules, or the law is passed. It's made into law, and then we promulgate the rules.
The department comes up with,
yes,
with rules.
So my takeaway from that was, so we pass a law, but we're not going to know what's in it until after it's passed. That sounds like a Nancy Pelosi move.
It does. It kind of does. But we kind of know what's in it. They got to stay within the concept of the law, but they do get to write the rules, which then come before Government Operations Committee, which is a joint committee,
right,
of House and Senate members,
mm-hmm,
and they vote to pass or reject the rule.
The scary thing about that was we watched them promulgate rules and make rule changes over the summer within the Category 4 department. Mm-hmm. And it changed. It changed the way that homeschool families in the state of Tennessee are required to operate. Mm-hmm. We had no idea that that was happening until after it was already a done deal. And they do have the authority to promulgate rules under the guise of health and safety. And so it seems that the State Department of the Tennessee Department of Education and the State Board of Education are lining themselves up to do exactly what has happened in other states in terms of being able to promulgate these rules under health and safety, which encompasses a whole broad spectrum. It's really a Pandora's box.
It does. It just opens up everything. Once you get there, once this gets passed,
yes,
you know, it can lead anywhere.
Yes.
So we'll have to be real careful or that board.
Yeah, absolutely, because in other states, this has been the segue to well-being child checks that we already tried to implement in the state of Tennessee. And people say, well, in the state of Tennessee, the State Board of Education cannot promulgate rules in line with curriculum or in line with who's teaching the child. You know, they have certain restrictions, but what people don't understand is this. Health and safety is a very broad category, and that's, again, what they've used in other states to cause major problems for families that are implementing their right, you know, to educate their children as they see fit. But also, if private schools and homeschools are required to take the same nationally recognized standardized tests that the public schools, the only way for those children to be able to do well would be they would have to use that curriculum.
Right.
They would have to be using the same curriculum that is in line with the same, you know, state standards that these children are being tested over. So that's the caveat. That's where they catch you. And that's one of the many ways that government, you know, steps in and is able to, you know, exert a lot of influence over private education. And you know, that's happened in other states, it's a problem.
And you're really hitting on some good points here, and it's going to be interesting when this thing is all said and done, if it does pass and become into law,
mm-hmm.
actually how many private schools are going to take this money.
Because
let me, and I may have already said this, but let me assure you folks, when you take this money, at some point in time you're beholden to the government.
Absolutely. You know, I've listened to the narrative that this doesn't come with federal strings. That's not true, because we talked about IDEA funding earlier.
Mm.
And so if a child is going to public school and they have an IEP, that IEP can't follow the child out into the private sector. But what can follow the child is the IDEA funding. And that IDEA funding is attached to federal strings and mandates. So if a private school accepts a voucher from a child that is utilizing IDEA funding, and this was discussed when we were in the committees, then that school opts in to those federal mandates that are attached to that IDEA funding. And the problem right now is we've medicalized our schools, and we continue to do that more and more. And there's this big push in the state of Tennessee to identify as many children as possible as at risk. And then they would then qualify for that IDEA funding. And now those children, there's a federal law that was passed this past summer that makes it clear that schools can now bill Medicaid without parental consent. So there's a whole lot to this that people do not realize is unfolding, you know, as we watch this. So you are correct in that federal strings will be attached. If the government is funding it, the government is going to be running it. And I think that there's a lot of tentacles to this, and one is data mining. And we've heard a lot about that.
Right.
I heard it in the Senate. I heard Senator Lundberg say over and over again that data will be collected, and he was making the statement that as much data should be collected as possible. It's going to be done by a third-party data collector. We don't know who that is, do we?
We do not. And I'm
okay.
Sure that'll be one of these government contracts.
Right.
You know.
Right. So a third-party vendor is going to be collecting this data on these children and their families who choose to utilize these vouchers. And then it's going to be sent to the State Department, the Department of Education, to do with as they wish. And I think it's very important for parents to understand that FERPA allows data to be collected and shared without parental consent to any entity in the name of educational research. Do you think that's concerning?
That's very concerning to me. You know, that's very concerning.
Yeah. Data is big business. And so the fact that we could be potentially putting children, even more children, under this data collection umbrella, especially those that have not currently been under that umbrella in the past because they've been out of the system. And they made it really clear. They stated, any child that comes, and this is what they said, any child that comes under us, under our system, needs to have this data collected. So do we know yet with this particular piece of legislation who these third-party vendors are in terms of transportation, curriculum, therapists? Because therapy services were one of the things that were mentioned in this that the voucher could be utilized for.
Right. No, we don't. And I'm sure that's something that'll, again, come
after it's passed,
after
right?
After it's passed. And it would be good to know that kind of stuff up front. Some of it maybe we could, but, you know, some of it maybe we can't. I'm sure some of it, you know, you would think would be through the request for proposals, then hopefully they would take the low bid and use our taxpayers wisely. But this is the points you've hit on here in the last 2 or 3 minutes is exactly why we do not need government, more government in our schools.
I definitely agree with that. I think that we need to focus on, if we have issues, if families and legislators feel like we have issues in the public school system, let's get that taken care of before we start asking taxpayers to fund private education.
I agree 100% with that.
Well, we definitely appreciate all the work that you have been doing in up there in the House. You're fighting the good fight. You're trying to keep your constituents up to speed on what's going on. I totally encourage any listener, if you live in Representative Warner's district, to reach out to him and express your concerns.
Yeah, I'd love to hear your concerns, and I don't care if you don't live in my district. I serve on the education. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I serve all Tennesseans.
That's a great answer.
And I'll give you my cell number at that. My number is 931-703-3517, and that's my cell number. Shoot me a text, call me, and we may have to agree to disagree, but I'm going to listen to you anyway.
Well, thank you so much. It was an honor to have you as a guest here today. I want to thank Safe Storage for sponsoring today's show, and I also want to thank John Paul Financial Services for sponsoring today's show. If you need storage options or you need financial services, both of those resources can help you out. We love you here at Free Your Children, but remember, Jesus loves you so much more.